It's the Pre-W. Smith Show with Jeff Sloan, ahead of the Paul W. Smith Show at 6 on 760 WJR.
All right, welcome back to the Pre-W. Smith Show. You know, a big scientific announcement made this week, of course. Earlier in the week, we heard that big breakthrough at Lawrence Livermore Laboratories in California, in that what's known as ignition occurred for the first time in the process of nuclear fusion. Now, this is just a part of the puzzle that needs to be solved in order to make this capability actually practical for our use in the future. But it's a big step in the right direction, a major breakthrough. And to help us put it all in perspective and to give us some insight into when we might actually be able to see this technology serving our energy needs going forward, we've got Eileen Woodward, reporter for the Wall Street Journal, who's covered this story, and she's going to help break it down for us here. Eileen, welcome. Tell us about this amazing breakthrough and what it might mean to us in the future.
So for the first time, there was a net gain in energy. So the energy output of a fusion reaction, a controlled fusion reaction, exceeded the energy input from, for instance, in this case, the lasers required to kickstart that nuclear fusion reaction. So that more energy out than in really is the benchmark for fusion ignition.
And that kind of, even when you think about it, even from a layman's perspective, defies logic. You mean I'm getting more out than I'm putting in?
Absolutely. And, you know, this is the same process that powers our sun and other stars, and fusion happens in those situations ubiquitously. And so essentially with these experiments, like the recent one, we're trying to recreate a star in our laboratories. And so it kind of is a little mind-blowing.
It's a little mind-blowing and then some. But when they reached ignition, does that mean they did indeed, in effect, create a little sun in the laboratory? The equivalent thereof, obviously.
Absolutely, yeah. And several of the experts that I spoke with said that that really is the milestone here. You know, the fact that we can make a sun in our laboratories.
And that, again, really, we can make a sun in our laboratories now. And that's the wow. So the practical ramifications of this is that ultimately, if we're able to move this out of the laboratory and into a practical application that can service our energy needs going forward, this becomes sort of a, would the word infinite source be appropriate? Certainly it's clean energy.
Exactly. And honestly, that's the broad appeal, I think, of nuclear fusion and the key impetus to why there's been so much investment, both privately and now more recently from governments. It is considered almost limitless because the hydrogen fuel that's sort of used in these fusion reactions is abundantly found in seawater or can be created from other elements that are found both in water and the Earth's crust. So that's sort of the limitless aspect there. And then again, as you so eloquently put, there are benefits certainly over existing nuclear power plants. Fission really does create that long-lived radioactive waste that then you need to consider how to dispose of responsibly and safely. Versus from fusion, all you're really getting out of it other than that energy that you're looking for is an inert gas called helium.
Which, again, those, and both hydrogen and helium are everywhere in nature these days. And as you say, really no issues about sourcing the input, that being the hydrogen, and no real issues about the output with helium. So this becomes a really clean, effective source for us. What about, I mean, when I think about creating a sun in a laboratory, I mean, at the very least, you think about heat and extremes. How do you contain a sun in the laboratory and let alone in a practical application out in the field one day?
So, great question. And honestly, there are researchers in more than 50 countries across the world that are working on plasma physics and nuclear fusion research. And not everybody approaches creating nuclear fusion reactions in the same way. This research and plasma physics research is going on in more than 50 countries across the world. But in this particular case, the U.S. facility that achieved this milestone, they're utilizing lasers to sort of facilitate these fusion reactions. And basically what they do is they have this BB-sized capsule that contains the hydrogen fuel necessary for a nuclear fusion reaction, this sort of partially frozen mixture of two hydrogen isotopes. and that BB-sized capsule is suspended inside a 1 centimeter long golden cylinder. And then they fire 192 lasers from both ends of the cylinder, and they enter the cylinder and strike the walls and create X-rays. Those X-rays sort of bathe that fuel capsule. And as they bathe it, it's subjected to extreme temperatures, like 180 million degrees Fahrenheit, and also extreme pressures. And those extreme conditions sort of create this very rapid implosion that crushes the hydrogen fuel inside. So it goes from the size of a BB to the width of a human hair. And that happens over 1 million miles per hour. So it's a very, very quick squish. And the lasers are only on for a few billionths of a second. And that sort of implosion is what facilitates the nuclear fusion reaction.
I mean, first I mentioned, I used the word extremes going on everywhere as it relates to making this all happen. 180 million degrees, atoms moving 1 million miles, the equivalent of 1 million miles an hour, crushing something down so that you get this triggering of this ignition, as it's known. Same thing that happens in the sun, that when you make a sun, when you make a star, It's the exact same thing. And then containing it all. And then being able to draw the energy out in a way that it can be ultimately servicing our energy needs. What are the prospects that we can take this amazing scientific achievement, breakthrough now? So what does the future look like in terms of us actually being able to harness this in a practical application and servicing energy needs for not only us here in the U.S., but globally?
Yeah, so we're pretty far from the commercial application of this technology. Everyone I spoke with said it's years, if not decades away. And the reason for the fact that it's premature to sort of talk about building fusion power plants, despite the U.S. government's aims that that might happen within the next decade, is because there's a lot of technical issues that need to be solved. So right now, they're not gaining electrical energy because the amount of energy that the lasers require to sort of kickstart that nuclear fusion reaction, the amount of energy that they pull from the electrical grid exceeds the energy output from the reaction itself. So the reaction itself has a net energy gain, but it still requires...
You have to ignite it. Over time, it's a net energy gain, but the moment of ignition requires this huge infusion of energy to spark the ignition.
Correct. So, and the reason for that is that the lasers are pretty inefficient. They're less than 1% efficient right now. So they need to figure out how to make more efficient lasers. Additionally, sort of at the present juncture, the amount of energy output, it's measurable, but it's not meaningful, like maybe the amount equivalent to like boiling 10 kettles of water or something like that.
Sure.
And additionally, sort of these reactions as they are being done at this particular facility, they can't happen that frequently, right? But laser fusion power plant would have to fire something like 10 times per second to give a reasonable electrical power output, one of my sources said. So they need to figure out how to make this reproducible on a faster temporal scale. And it's also, at the moment, not terribly cheap to run these experiments. So they also have to figure out how to make it cheaper.
Yeah, very interesting. Wow, it's heady stuff. Again, just from a scientific perspective alone, amazing achievement. But beyond that, if you were to look at the key things that had to happen, the key factors, the key challenges to overcome in the trajectory of going from the notion of, the concept of nuclear fusion one day being a real power source for us to actually getting there, we had to get here. And this was a big, big obstacle to overcome. We've now, at least in, you know, by some measure, we've achieved that. Really exciting stuff. Listen, Eileen Woodward, reporter for the Wall Street Journal, thank you. We appreciate you enlightening us on the story.
You're very welcome.
All right, we're going to run to a break. Back with more in a minute right here on the Pre-W. Smith Show.